Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Health Minister Stephen Donnelly told Morning Ireland this morning that he envisages a vaccine booster campaign this autumn and that the department is waiting on advice from NIAC on who to provide that booster to. The World Health Organization, though, has called for a delay on administering booster shots of COVID-19 vaccines as a means of reducing global vaccine inequality and preventing the emergence of new coronavirus variants. I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Margaret Ann Harris of the World Health Organization. Thank you very much, Dr. Harris, for joining us this morning. Is it frustrating to be ignored by first world leaders in this way?
Good morning, and it's certainly a pleasure to be with you. I think we're not being ignored, but there's a very important debate to have here. And the reason the World Health Organization was calling for a moratorium on this is, again, to not rush and corner all the supply of vaccines, something we've been struggling with all year, it's because we are still trying to get them out to the most vulnerable people in the world, healthcare workers, the elderly. Many of those people in many countries have not even had their first jab. So we know that the science is evolving, and it's very important to be watching the science. But what the science is telling us most is we must get the most vulnerable groups vaccinated around the world right now. We should have had it happen already in order to protect all of us from the development of further variants and further outbreaks. You know, we won't win this unless we stick together.
But this is where Solomon-like wisdom is required, really, isn't it? Because the vulnerable in this country, the vulnerable in other developed nations, are also deserving of that protection. And we have seen now how 6 months on, the efficacy of these vaccines starts to wane.
Well, certainly one of the important things is the science is still evolving. There are a lot of studies out there, and the efficacy, we need to understand what we're talking about. What we are seeing with all the vaccine products is they're still really, really good at protecting against the two most critical outcomes. Death, that's a very critical outcome, and severe disease. And severe disease is what fills your hospitals, overwhelms your system, and means your hospitals can't do anything but deal with COVID. Now, they are working well at that. We are seeing some waning against milder disease, but what we're saying is let's deal with the big things first. We also do recognize there are people who will need extra doses. There are people whose immune systems aren't that strong in the first place. And those people are in a different category, and those people certainly should get further vaccine support.
Okay, so in your view then, there is justification for forensically targeted administration of a booster vaccine, but not a blanket campaign.
Exactly right. You look at who needs it, how they need it, but also look and really at the worldview and make sure you're getting it to people who currently have no vaccination at all.
Because if another vaccine-beating variant is to emerge, is it the WHO's view that it is most likely to come from a part of the world that is currently almost entirely unvaccinated?
That is the most likely situation. Anywhere where you have a huge outbreak with vast amounts of virus circulating, it's got lots of opportunities to change itself and try out new things. You know, it's got the opportunity to really get what we call fit. It gets better fitness, better able, and those are the ones that then come back to bite you.
What role are the pharma companies playing themselves, though, in this chokehold on supply that the developed West is now exerting? Because they have increased the prices, or some of the companies have increased the prices that they're charging for their vaccines. So naturally, it is in their financial interests to supply us first ahead of the places that they're perhaps making a loss or only breaking even.
Well, I couldn't really speak for the pharma companies, but it's very clear that the countries where the money is, the wealthy countries, the G20 countries, where most of the manufacturing is happening, have got also most of the supply. So we really do need to get a bit better at looking after everyone in the world, not just because we want to be better people, but we also want to be people that beat this virus.
Your latest and most up-to-date understanding of the Delta variant, would it be fair to sum it up as saying it's not necessarily killing more people than other strains in spite of being much more infectious?
Well, you need to separate those things. If it's more infectious, more people get infected. So therefore, more people who get the severe form, especially if they can't get to hospital because there are so many people already in hospital, then more people die. But you're right, it's the infectiousness of the Delta variant that is causing so much trouble.
And talk to me a little bit more about vaccine efficacy, please, because the studies that we have seen only relate to two vaccines where the efficacy wanes after 6 months. Are there similar studies taking place for all the other vaccines, and what do they show?
So, yes, it's highly varied, and getting a very clear idea is something we don't have right now. That was the other reason we're asking for a moratorium. We're saying, well, look, let's make sure we're right on the science before we rush out there, start distributing huge numbers of doses in the wealthy countries while the poorer countries are not yet even getting their first dose. So the important thing, and we're still seeing this, these vaccines are working to prevent those two most severe outcomes. I couldn't give you sort of a table of what's happening with all the different products, but we are seeing the vaccines still stand up and are still preventing the severe disease and preventing death. But what they're not doing is preventing transmission. And I think a lot of public health authorities were hoping that they would also prevent transmission. But people need to understand you can still get infected and you can still pass it on even if you're vaccinated. That's why we need to take all the other measures, all the physical distancing, the mask wearing, avoiding being in close, in crowds, especially indoors. All those things still need to be done and done well.
There's a lot of confused messaging as well, Dr. Harris, around the mixing of doses. What's the WHO's understanding of the science there? Does it confer any additional immunity?
So we're not necessarily seeing additional immunity, but we're looking at whether it's something you can do. And we are seeing that, for instance, if you had one particular vaccine and then the second one is the one that's available in particular certain circumstances, you could have the second one. So we've seen this particularly with AstraZeneca and Pfizer, that where people had the AstraZeneca dose first of all and then they did not have the AstraZeneca available for their second dose, it is okay to have the Pfizer.
And again, please, what's the latest, the most up-to-date science or understanding on vaccinating under 12s? Our own vaccination programme for teenagers is moving apace, but I think that there would be an awful lot of both teachers and parents at primary school level who would be concerned that the under 12s basically are probably going to face into the rest of this year unvaccinated.
Yes, so the safety data isn't there yet to enable us to give a pronunciation on that. So we know these vaccines are effective. They're probably likely to be effective in that group as well, but we haven't seen the safety data. And when you're going into the younger and younger age groups, these are groups that generally don't get severe illness. Now, some do, so it's not to say nobody will get severe illness in those groups, but the reason they have been, say, the last group to really be looked at is, first of all, doing safety studies on very young children is something that's quite ethically complicated. And secondly, again, this was the group that were least likely to have the severe illness. So we don't have the data yet to say whether or not we can vaccinate in this group or how you would use the vaccines in this group. So currently WHO is not recommending it, but there is a lot of work going on around the world, and as soon as we have that data, we will indeed be making a recommendation one way or another.
Okay, and what does the science say about the under-12s as a vector for transmission, and might it be a good idea for them to be wearing masks in the classroom as they return to school?
So this is interesting in that early on they were not seen to be a vector, but now later studies have found indeed that most of the transmission occurs actually in households, in household groups or household settings, and it may indeed be young children, because young children, you can't socially distance from your young child. You have to do a lot of things very physically close. So all the different measures, including mask wearing, if it's appropriate and the child can be supported and taught how to use it and to ensure that it's not something that causes discomfort. So you do have to do a lot of work with the child to help them to use a mask appropriately. But you also need to do things like really improve the ventilation in your classrooms, really improve the distancing, make sure that you can change how you teach and how you work so that you're not really jamming kids together, and really, really get people to be tested and ensure that nobody's coming in to that group with an infection.
We have a very high rate of uptake on the vaccination in this country. The same picture is not true everywhere else, though. Can you give us the big picture on vaccine hesitancy at this stage?
It's a highly varied picture, but it is a big issue, especially in countries that have got, you know, we at WHO are very concerned about the wealthy countries taking up the vaccines, and yet they at the same time are struggling with large groups within their populations of people who have a very negative view of being vaccinated. And certainly the very, very large outbreaks we're seeing, and the biggest outbreaks are now going on in set for instance, the USA, are by and large among the unvaccinated. And this is something that is particularly difficult, particularly for the healthcare workers who have been fighting this for, you know, more than 18 months. They've just been on 24 hours a day, and now they're dealing with people who did not need to be in their intensive care units. The vaccines would have prevented that.
Dr. Margaret Ann Harris of the WHO, thank you very much for joining us this morning with that update. Coming up after the break, is data the key to good parenting?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.